Good morning, everybody. Y'all are a good-looking crew. There's a lot of people in the house, and that's amazing. As Pastor Kyle mentioned, I'm Eric Joyner, in case you didn't know, because there's a lot of you, and I'm pretty sure some of you I've never met, which is bad, because I'm one of the board members here, so I apologize. But yeah, I'm a board member here at Transforming Life Church, and Pastor Kyle asked me to deliver a message this morning, and there's something that's been on my heart for months and months now that honestly is me being very vulnerable with you all this morning. You know, this message, there's aspects to it that, you know, I haven't shared with a lot of people. There's aspects of it that I had to ask permission to share because, you know, it's dirty, you know? And, but the word tells us that we overcome the enemy through the Lamb and the blood and by the power of our testimony. And if we are ashamed of sharing our testimony because of how dirty it may be, we'll never overcome. So I hope that in being vulnerable and sharing some things with you all this morning that it'll encourage you to maybe share some things that you haven't shared with somebody in your life that maybe needs to know what it took to get to where you're at today. So if I could get like the house like turned down a little bit, I am hearing myself real crazy right now. I think Ryan did that because he wants a new sound system. Where's he at? All right. Fundraiser, yes. If you would like to donate towards the purchase of a new sound system, please go ahead and mark that in the envelope before you drop it off. We need a good bit. So this morning I'm going to talk about the power of grace. And, you know, as I was thinking about how this might fit in with, you know, Kyle's series that he just finished, it is amazing when you think about the miracle in the middle and the sermon series and everything you went through. You know, the miracle that you receive in the middle of your storms, in the middle of the things that happen, is because of God's endless grace and the grace that he shows us despite the fact that we don't deserve it. You know, grace is defined as the free and unmerited favor of God, and it's manifested in the salvation of sinners and the bestowal of blessings. This is the big thing of noticing here with grace is it says grace is free, meaning it costs you nothing to receive it, and it is unmerited, meaning you do not deserve it. My goodness, how amazing it is to serve a God that despite the fact that we don't deserve it, he gives us this grace free to receive, and that all we have to do is claim it. And you know, it's sad because even though the truth is that it's free and unmerited, we have a difficult time accepting grace from God, an even harder time giving grace to others. We have a really hard time looking at ourselves and saying, can I truly receive this gift? You see, if we were honest this morning, like myself, we all got some skeletons in our closet. There's some things that we've gone through, some things we've seen, some places we've been that we're not really that proud of. There are things that, you know, we wish just never existed. They never took place, but they're part of your story. They're part of your testimony that you would likely not be here today sitting here hearing this message if it wasn't for those skeletons. But what's the problem? The problem is we look around at a beautiful sanctuary, we look at beautiful people, and we think, man, they got it perfect. Their life is, it's all worked out. I'm not like them. I am broken. I'm pieces. I am, you know, not at the same level they are. How can I accept this grace when all I see is people that got it together and I'm a complete mess? And the fact is we become overpowered by guilt. And guilt is the barrier to grace. You see, we don't feel like we can accept grace because we're guilty over where we've been. We're guilty over what we've done. And we can't see the grace because of the guilt. See, guilt says that grace can't be poured out on someone like me. Grace is meant for somebody that had a different upbringing, somebody that grew up in the church, or, you know, somebody that had a little foundation, maybe somebody that had a little hiccup, but you don't understand the dirt that I've been through. And, you know, that grace just isn't for me. But the truth is, none of us deserve grace. None of us have deserved what it is that we have received from God, but it is out of his unending love that he has freely offered it to each and every one of us today. You see, in Romans 3, chapter 3, verses 22 to 25, Paul says, "This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith." We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But we are also all freely justified. And I get it. You sit there and you contemplate, but Eric, you don't know where I've been. You don't understand my background. You don't understand my story. You're like, look at this. You know, I don't normally bring props, but today you get a prop. So it's not a very pretty one, but this is my stumbling block. I can't get to where I'm going because this thing keeps reminding me of my past. It keeps reminding me of my failure. And I can't get to God because this stumbling block is in my way. You don't understand. Grace isn't for me. And you know what? I think that we can look to someone. I don't think anybody in the Bible has a bigger stumbling block than Paul. If we think back to a man who dedicated his life prior to Christ to persecuting the church, to literally going out and killing the disciples. You know, were any of you out there murdering Christians before you came to Christ? No? Okay, good. You know, if you raised your hand, hopefully you served your time. But I'm glad none of you raised your hand. Because see, Paul did. Paul went around making it his mission to persecute people like you and me that wanted to just come and fellowship in the house of God. And in 1 Corinthians 15, starting at verse 9, he says, "For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God." And you see, that's where a lot of us stop. Paul self-reflects and he says, "I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle because of what I've done, because of where I've been." And maybe you sit here and you say, "I'm not even worthy of being called a Christian. I'm not even worthy of being called a follower of Christ because of where I've been." And you see, a lot of us, we stop there, but Paul, thankfully, he does not stop there. He lets us know the foundation of where his mental state was, but then he goes on to say in verse 10, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." Sounded like Popeye a little bit. "But I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me." He says, "I know where I've been. I know who I was. And I know what God had to do to get me to this current place." He said, "So I'm not going to back away from it. I'm not going to hide from my past. I'm not going to pretend like it didn't exist. But I'm going to stand upon it. And I'm going to be able to fight harder than every other bozo that's not willing to press because I know what it took to get here." You need to stop focusing on why you are negated and start focusing on Christ that wants to bring you to a greater place. We've all fallen short. We've all made mistakes. But you know what? We need to recognize God's goodness through those mistakes. And you very likely need to forgive yourself. You need to look back at that past you and say, you know what? It's okay. It's okay. Because we're someone better now. You see, one of the things I want to talk about from my past is a lot of you know I'm a Florida Gator through and through, baby. Come on now. If you ain't a Gator, you Gator bait, and you don't know it, I don't care what the record says. We going for the national championship next year, all right? DJ Lagway is going to come out. He's going anyway. And you see, you know what? Many of you know that it's not just I'm a fan, but I'm an alumni, right? I got that diploma very proudly hanging in my office. But you see, what you may not understand is I went to UF twice. The first time didn't go so well. You see, I graduated from Plant City High School in 2002. The class of 02, because we're better than you. That's what we said. Yes. And you know what? Through great grades, because, you know, I was a smarty, and you know what, I hated studying, it just came to me, and I just lived in it. I got accepted in the UF, and my plans were to go and become a physics major. I wanted to be a high school physics teacher. That's what I wanted to do, y'all. My physics teacher just wowed me. And you know what, you can look at that first picture up there, and you can realize, it don't look like it worked so well. It didn't. Matter of fact, you'll notice the only A on there is from marching band. Yes, band nerd. It was the only thing I enjoyed doing. I didn't want to go to class. I didn't care to. I thought, you know what, I'm a brainiac. I don't need it. I lived a life of sin. I would drink, hang out with friends, go to parties. And I did everything but go to class, except for when it was time for marching band practice, right? As you can tell from that A. And you know, I found myself a year and a half after getting enrolled being dismissed because I had a 1.17 GPA, which is a very horrible GPA. I know that one says term GPA is 0.3, which is even worse, but that was not the cumulative. And you know what? I was miserable. I was in a miserable state. I was depressed. I felt guilt and shame. After I got dismissed, I would find myself waking up and, like, my lip would be swollen. My hand would be swollen. I'd have whelps on my body because the stress had overwhelmed me. You know, I felt like I had let my family down. And, you know, I was dating this girl at the same time. She was the majorette captain. If you're a band nerd, you know what that means. And she came from a highfalutin family. Lived in a town called Lake Worth, so you know what that means. And when I got dismissed, I don't know how many of you know, I didn't put the picture up here, but some of you know, I didn't come from much. A nice little single-wide trailer in Antioch did us well. But you know what? That girl's family saw a loser, saw somebody that wasn't going to be able to provide for their little girl. So they gave her the ultimatum. They said, you can either stay with him and end up living in a trailer, or you can kick him to the curb. And that's what she did. And you know, some of you know what my house looks like today. Many times I would love to send that picture to her parents and just be like, let me tell you what it now it likely wouldn't look that way if we'd actually stuck it out. See, that's where grace comes in. But you see, I felt like nothing. It was my stumbling block. I couldn't get anywhere because I failed. Literally, the university told me, I failed. Get out of here. You're no good. You're a bum. And you see, I came back home and I was living with mama, like unfortunately too many of you older kids do today. And And I started working in construction because, you know, that's all you can do. And I was going to church because mama said I had to. Even though I was an adult, you know, mama's supposed to tell you where you go. Mamas, your kids need to come to church. Daddies, your kids need to come to church. But you know what? I was going to Plant City First Assembly, and I met great people, and they introduced me to a wonderful third-party debt collection agency. Right. Teresa knows all about it. And I started working as a third-party debt collector, calling people up. Hey, you remember that Visa credit card you had in the 80s? Well, you still owe $2,000 on it. Click, you know. And you know what? It was a humbling experience to go from believing you were going to be the first one to go and achieve that degree in your family. You were going to go and make a name for yourself. You were living your dream to now I'm calling people on weekends hoping that I can get them to pay an old debt. But the funny thing is in that job, I met someone that introduced me to my wife. And you know what? If I wouldn't have been kicked out in the fall of 2003, I wouldn't have met that lovely lady. And you know what? I wouldn't have found my relationship with Jesus Christ. So you know what? The enemy would like to say, hey, look at this. Look at your failure. But now I can look, if you put that screenshot back up there. I worked until I went back to school and worked at nights. Or I worked during the day and went to school at night, and I got my undergraduate degree from USF. Go Bulls. And then I said, you know what? I want that graduate degree. And if I'm going to do it, I'm going to go redeem myself. And I'm going back to UF, and I'm going to come out with a diploma. And in 2017, I graduated from that joker with my MBA. So So you know what? The enemy wants to say, look, this is who you are. This is where you've been. But no, look at this. Hello. Hello. Don't remind me. I can tell you where I've been because it's under my feet. Do you hear me? Some of you need to put where you've been under your feet so that you can get fresh perspective on where God has you going. Because now I can see clearer because it's under my feet. Y'all have let the enemy just get you too wrapped up on where you've been. And you let your past mistakes negate your ability to be used by God today. But you know what? God used a lot of messed up people. Moses was a killer. Hello? David was an adulterer. What can he do with you? You are never too far gone for God's grace. And he wants to turn your stumbling blocks into stepping stones. He wants to take you somewhere that you haven't been. But now, that's all great. God, thank you. I want to receive that grace. But man, let me tell you, I don't want to give it to nobody. No, I can't give that grace to somebody else. You see, if we want to receive the grace, we have to be willing to give it. And we can't withhold it from others because grace is not only for the gossiper. Grace is for the murderer because all were found guilty of sin. And you see, sometimes we withhold grace from those in our lives because of what they've done to us and where we've been. And we try to justify why we would harbor resentment and ill feelings and why we would kick somebody out when God says, would you just give me a chance to offer grace? You know, another definition of grace is to pardon. And to pardon someone is to release them of their sin/offense. To pretend it never even existed. To wipe it clean. To where it never comes back. Because sometimes we like to forgive somebody, but we like to keep bringing it up. Hey, you remember how I forgave you of that wrongdoing you did last year? Remember how 5 years ago, you know, remember, Holly, you backed into a car, and I had to go pay for the bumper to get fixed. Remember how I forgave you of that? Remember how you hit like 10 trash cans? and have broken our side mirror so many times, I don't even know what to say. All right. You know, we like to say, I've offered grace, but I keep digging it back up. I keep digging up the offense. I keep bringing it back up. You see, we tend to react out of feelings and not out of grace. We tend to get stirred up in the moment and we forget to ask God, what does he have for me? If we can maybe pardon our children pretty easily, a spouse, but maybe it's a little bit harder for a friend or a stranger, and maybe even ourselves. And we can pardon minor offenses, but what about that deep betrayal? What about that time they really stuck it to us, and you feel like you still got that knife in your back? What about when you have every biblical right to be upset? How can we decide to choose grace? You see, Jesus gives us two important commands in Matthew chapter 7. The first is Matthew 7, 1 through 12 says, do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And then in Matthew 7, 12, and the Rangers would know this, so at everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. And the best part is that it ends with, for that sums up the whole law and the prophets. Everything is summed up by just treat others the way you want to be treated. And you know, it's like, God, I want to receive grace. I want mercy. I want all of these great things, but I don't want to give it to others. I have a hard time giving it to other people. And God says, the measure you use will be used to you. You say, I want to receive grace, but I won't treat others with grace. How would you want to be received? You know, a figure we don't usually talk about in this sense, too, is Joseph. You know, Joseph had every perceived right to kick Mary to the curb. He said, this sorry woman then got herself impregnated and is trying to blame God. And everybody around him would have said, you have every right to kick her to the curb. She is absolutely crazy. And Joseph even said, you know what? It said because he was righteous, he considered to only divorce her quietly so she wouldn't get stoned and attacked for her offense. But you know what? He didn't rush and just say, get out of here. But he took time and he allowed God to work on him. And God was able to reveal that he needed to present grace. Now, obviously, not every situation is the same. And I'm sure for some of us, you know, maybe infidelity is a real thing that you've encountered in your marriage. And you know it wasn't God. And it was very difficult to decide whether you were going to show grace to that individual. And I'm not here to judge you for whatever decisions you've made in those situations, but I want you to take into consideration going forward, how can I put grace over my feelings? How can I put my faith in God and what response he wants in this situation over my immediate feelings of anger and bitterness? Because we may find that as we step back from our feelings, we may find that God wants to work on you and the offender and ultimately guide you to grace. And listen, I'm not saying that this is an easy thing to give. It's also not an easy thing to ultimately receive. Because we must know whether we're looking to receive grace or give it. Grace does come with expectations of change. I can't just accept grace from God and continue to live my life the way it was. Jesus didn't go to the woman that was about to be stoned for being a prostitute and say, anybody without sin, you know, cast a stone, and then tell her, all right, continue being a prostitute, enjoy your life. No, he said to go and to sin no more. He offered her grace, but then he told her, this grace is tied to you sinning no more. And so many times we come to Jesus as like this well of forgiveness and grace, and we act like we can just continue to live in our life of sin, and we can continue to just walk in our walk and just continue to be poured out grace and mercy. But we need to understand grace is expected. You see, grace is not freedom to sin. Grace is freedom from sin. You have to realize that I need to move from sin when I receive grace. It is not pass, go, collect $200, get out of jail free card. Because although receiving grace is free, we've already talked about it. It's free and unmerited, but it does come at a cost. You see, your grace and my grace was paid for on the cross. You see, every bit of sin, every bit of vile that we could have and likely still will still exist, has been forgiven for us on that cross. Paid through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So that maintaining that grace requires you to surrender to Him. You know, we had a powerful encounter night on Sunday night. If you missed it, man, you missed it. Sometimes you have to say yes when your flesh wants to say no. And that might mean coming to church on a Sunday night. It might mean showing grace to somebody that your flesh just wants to say no to. But He talked a lot about surrender and offering ourselves as a holy sacrifice, and we have to die to pride and accept a life of humility if we want to carry grace. You cannot carry pride and grace at the same time. And you see, Paul reminds us of that in 2 Corinthians 12 when he talks about the thorn that he had in his flesh. See, in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 5 through 10, Paul says, I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I say or do, or because of the surpassing great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But He said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, He is strong. You see, we have to flip the script. This stumbling block is not the reason why I can't serve, but this is the reason I can. Because I know where I've been, and I've been forgiven, and I've received grace, so I can move forward and show you why I am capable to deliver this message. Why I can go forward in humility and not boast about myself, but boast about the fact that God came and spoke to someone that didn't even give a flip to pay attention about in school and was a complete loser and a failure, but can still go back and say, you know what? He redeemed me and He allowed me to go back to that place and get redemption over my failure. And I can claim Him today that victory can come through the submission. You see, if we want God's perfect power displayed in our life, we have to look past our weaknesses and look to grace. If the worship team would come back up, I want to share a little story with you guys. This is a story that inspired my message this morning and what's been on my heart. It's a story about a little girl. If you guys can go to the first picture that I have in the slides, I appreciate it. Yeah. See, this little girl grew up in the 50s and 60s. Little girl at the bottom there. And she was raised in a middle-class Christian household. You know, in the 50s and 60s, she was raised, you don't go to the movies. You don't go to the skating rink. You know, we're not going to watch Elvis on TV gyrating like crazy, right? Who else had a household like that? Anybody? Ooh, we got a couple. Okay. You know what? Because that's where you find the devil. That's where he's hiding out. He's hiding out in the movie theater. He's hiding out at the skating rink. You know, don't go to those places. You're just going to find yourself some trouble. She was raised that a wife supports her husband and that divorce isn't an option. You don't consider divorce. You know, when she was 16 years old, you can go to the next slide. When she was 16 years old, she received a brand new 1965 Ford Mustang. Come on, Kyle. And she was excited to show that bad boy off. That is a beautiful car. Middle class used to be able to afford a brand new Ford Mustang, okay? Phew, not today. But that's a whole nother story. She got this beautiful car, and she couldn't wait to show her friends. And she went to this house of that she knew these boys, and they were a little bit of a lower-income family, and she was showing off this car, and there was a boy that had interest, not just in the car, but of the girl. She ended up falling in love with this boy. He was a musician. He was also in the marching band. Woo! Marching band. I tell you what, man. You can really pull it as a band nerd, let me tell you. They eventually got married, if you go to the next slide. And she went with him to Germany as he enlisted in the army. She followed him wherever he would go. They traveled to many places. They had three kids, and they were devoted to their church. You can go to the next slide. Beautiful family. Devoted church-going people had their kids. Let's go. Let's move on in the direction God has for us. That husband, though, was in a band. He played in local bars and sometimes found himself in situations that maybe a married man shouldn't find himself in. One night, that little girl, who now has turned to a grown mother of three, found her husband in the arms of another woman. And she had a decision to make. Do I take every biblical right I have, and do I walk out that door? Or do I consider grace? You see, for a lot of people today, it would be a very easy decision of, I'm packing my bags and I'm out that door. And like I said, I'm not here to judge you if that's the decision you would make. But that woman gave grace. She decided to stick it out. And the response she got was that the woman on the other side of this coin ended up becoming pregnant. And she didn't want the child. So once again, she was placed in a situation of, do I let this woman that has been impregnated from my husband conceive this child and just give it away? And just live my life with my three kids and just pretend like nothing ever happened? Or do I give grace to a child that by no fault of their own is being born into this world and bring that child into the fold? That woman that day chose grace. And you can go to the next slide. And she chose to continually live out that grace by raising that boy like no different than any of her other children. That child would not have known by any shape or form that he was not born from that woman. And I'll tell you what, you go back to that other slide. What are y'all doing up there? My goodness. I'm about to whack one of y'all afterwards because y'all have been all over the place today. This picture's at that boy's wedding. And I can tell you that boy loved that woman. You would not be able to say that wasn't his mama. And I would argue to say that he probably even loved her even more than the rest of her kids and showed so much grace and mercy and poured out on her and called her and doted on her because he understood the grace that he also received. And a couple years later, after that boy was born, that woman's husband said, "You know what? We should really have another child. It doesn't seem right that our last child was born out of wedlock." And she once again had the choice. Do I pour out grace? Because you know what? She could have just said, "Hey, I'm going to stick it out for the kids." How many of you have heard that saying? I've heard that so many times. We're going to stick it out for the kids. Stick it out for Jesus, okay? She could have said, "I'm going to stick it out for the kids, but I disavow every intimate relationship. He's not going to know me the way he used to." But she decided to choose grace and to give him one last child. We can go to the next slide. That grace that was afforded that day is what brings me in front of you all today, because that last little child there is me. That little girl was my mom. And I'm that final child that was born out of an abundance of grace that was poured out time and time and time again to probably a somebody in a situation that maybe most people wouldn't have said they deserve it. But I know today I'm standing in front of you with a wonderful wife and with three kids, because she chose the hard path of grace and decided to say yes when most people would say no. And I know that I have a brother that is married and is loved because she chose grace and accepted him like nobody else would have likely done the same. This is difficult. Grace is not easy. Every day of her life, that child was a reminder of where her husband had been. Come on. A constant reminder of the fault that had taken place. Grace is not always easy, and it's not always pretty. It will take a lot of struggle to get there, but it is worth it. And God can do miraculous and great things through grace. And you know what? She could look back and say, "You know what? My husband, he didn't honor our wedding vows." And she could let that be her story. But instead, she can say, "I accepted him where he was, and I gave him grace. And then I accepted a child where he was, and I gave him grace. And now today I can stand up above all of it and say, you know what? All of that mess is under my feet. And I'm going to be the mother that I need to be for these children. I'm going to be the example that I need to be for these children." You don't have to allow the situations in your life to trip you up. God wants you to place it under your feet this morning. God wants you to put every obstacle, every doubt, every fear, every bit of guilt that you have allowed to build up in your spirit to say, "I can't be the person that God has called me to be placed under your feet this morning." You weren't meant to carry that. You were meant to leave it. Put it under your feet. If the prayer team will come forward, I know that this can be difficult. You know, you may be here and you're facing some regrets in life. Maybe you've been some places and you're having a hard time even accepting who you are today. The fact that you're here this morning is a great step. And it lets me know that who you are today is not who you were last week. It's not who you were last year. It's not who you were 10 years ago. And the only thing that needs to change is your perception. Because God has already forgiven you. And God has already made a way for you to step forward into the direction that he has called you to go. So I want you to consider, do I need to accept some grace this morning? Do I need to forgive myself and accept grace over where I've been and understand that I'm not that person anymore? And I want to move forward. I want that to be the power of my testimony.